Welcome to episode 515 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And we like to start our show off with feedback each week. We're not really prepared there. We have some last-minute feedback that we didn't get in. So, Josh, I think maybe we might want to hold that till next week. But there was something that I wanted to mention. We're not going to provide actual resources to people because I think that violates some DMCA legislation somewhere. But we did have a listener send something in. Carlton sent something in about how one way that you might be able to get access to content you're trying to watch if it's not in your locale is to consider changing your DNS that you use. Rather than having to have a VPN and all of that stuff, it is possible to point to a DNS in another locale that might help you gain access to the content that you want to get. Again, there are resources where you can get this information. We're not going to explicitly provide that, but I thought that was a kind of an interesting way of solving the like region locking problem that a lot of people are struggling with, particularly if they're not currently located where they're originally from or where they prefer to get their content.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little trick I'd never thought of before. Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty clever.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to be it for our feedback. If you would like to send some more in for our next episode, you can hit the contact form over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Or if you like typing really long email addresses, ours is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All right, Richard, we have a bunch of news, and almost all of it is video news. It floors me how much entertainment news we're getting right now. Like, I don't see us taking a week off for lack of news for a little while.
No, it's because people need a break. People need to get away from their day-to-day. And I think that it's really good. Most all of the news, in fact, I think all of the news that we have is good news. And that's good stuff. In fact, our first story came in literally within an hour of recording our last episode.
Yeah, we considered like trying to splice it in and all that stuff, but it just wasn't going to work out. So our first story, I was going to say unsurprisingly, because it seemed like for months, every week, we had a story from Plex to talk about. But really, of late, there hasn't been nearly as much to talk about, but we have Plex in the news again this week. They've been working on their live TV functionality, and we did mention last week in episode 513 that they are making their live TV service features available to everybody for a limited time. It's not for forever, and it's not all of the features. You don't get the DVR stuff, but you do get a couple of days of guide data and the ability to watch live TV through Plex. So shortly after announcing that, they also released some updated versions of a couple of their apps to improve that experience a little bit. Basically, they're working on, or they've released new versions of the Android TV and the Apple TV app, at least when it comes to the live TV updates. That's where you're going to find them. They've done a couple of other things that, like, they have Chromecast coming soon to iOS devices. Oddly, not Android devices. That's coming later, I guess. But from a live TV perspective, that's where the interesting stuff is. So we've got a grid guide that's functional. It's good. It's pretty good, I guess. But one of the big problems that they've had is changing channels is slow, and supposedly they've made this faster. Richard, I don't know how long it's been since you've tried to use Plex Live TV. It's apparently been a really long time for me. So long, in fact, that I didn't even have it set up anymore.
Yeah, that is not the case for me because I still use it as a DVR. And I don't really worry about the live stuff because I don't use it for live TV. I use my TiVo for that. The live TV, like you said, has been slow for me. And we know that this can't all be on the HD Home Run tuner or whatever tuner you're using, because if you use Silicon Dust's app for the tuner, you can change channels pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah. So I gave it a try tonight on my NVIDIA Shield. Changing channels is still pretty darn slow. Really slow, I thought. But, you know, one of the things that you do get, what I think is the coolest feature that they've added, and this feels very familiar TiVo has this, Windows Media Center had it, and that is picture in guide is what they're calling it. So if you're watching live TV and you press the up button on your D-pad to bring up the guide, it puts a small frame of the show that you're still watching up in the upper right hand corner so that you can still see the guide. It's not exactly how Media Center did it, but I think it works pretty well.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, like basic DVR functionality nowadays. So I'm glad to see they have it. Look, I know that this is something that they've been improving over time. They came out with a minimum viable product that, you know, something that they could offer to people to be able to enjoy live TV on the platform. It just hasn't been there. Maybe these things will get it over that hump, because we know many people that tried it and decided that it wasn't for them. They couldn't deal with the experience. The concern that I have, and this is the challenge that you face when you're entering an existing space with an entry-level product, is that I don't know if once people have tried it and didn't like it, they'll consider going back.
Right. It is hard to get people to try something again, but maybe not so much in this space, because if you were trying Plex Live TV, you probably already had a Plex server. So you're probably in Plex a lot anyway. So maybe it's not that big of a deal to try again, especially if you're already like a Plex Pass lifetime subscriber. So it's not like you have to pay to get access to it again and stuff like that.
Right. This is true. And if you're not a paid subscriber, remember, now is the time to try this out. You have the opportunity to try their live TV capabilities. I think it's through June at no cost.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't remember the exact date either. It's in our previous episode, and the details of that are in the story that we'll link to in the show notes for this topic. So you can absolutely go and try just about all of this stuff for free. The one thing you can't try is, and this is another one of those like, oh my gosh, you didn't have this feature before features, but if you're watching TV and you press the OK button or whatever your remote calls it, the thing that would bring up pause and allow you to select captions and stuff like that, they've added a record button there. I can't believe they didn't have that before, but apparently they didn't, and now they do. And then outside of all of that, they've added a couple of extra things to the main live TV interface section where it's not the guide, but it shows you like channels that you've recently watched. And they've added a couple of featured rows, one for movies that are on later, one for kids shows that are on later. So those types of things are nice. And they still have the original, I don't even remember what they call it. Maybe they just call it featured or something like that. But it's the last accessible tab in the interface that takes you to the view where it's just a bunch of posters for shows that are on now and shows that are on later. The interface that you and I both find next to useless.
Yeah, it's next to useless because it surfaces stuff that I just don't care about. It's almost as if it's mining that information from the lowest channels on my lineup, which are not only not HD, but also just a bunch of stuff that I never watch.
Yeah. So I did actually find one cool thing here. One thing that I actually set to record as I was going through and looking at the featured stuff. They also had sports on later. And I was like, what could that possibly even include? There aren't sports to watch anymore. But, so we're recording this on Tuesday. And the third or fourth item in the list was a hockey game that NBC is airing on Saturday, that actually happens to be Game 7 of the 2009 Stanley Cup Finals, the first time that I got to see my beloved Pittsburgh Penguins win the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
So I set that to record.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I like to see some of the creative things that different outlets are doing to still provide consumers with content when there isn't new content.
Right. Yeah. So that's it for the Plex news this week. Richard, I'm going to let you introduce the next story because I still haven't figured out how to pronounce this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that one I can do. This is called Quibi. So
Quibi.
We have been hearing about a new up-and-coming service, it seems like, for years now. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that this spawned from a predecessor. But this is a very well-funded initiative with big names in the management, big names on the screen, and they are producing lots and lots of new content designed for you to watch on your phone. And
on your phone on the go.
Only on your phone. And it's in short form, 5 to 10 minutes, so that it's digestible while you're commuting, while you're maybe, I don't know, walking between meetings, while you're taking lunch, all of these things that we kind of don't do the same anymore right now.
Right.
Anyway, timing aside, like this is a big bet, right? This company is throwing a ton of money at a completely new format. You could argue, yeah, but YouTube does this. Yes, but YouTube does this with independent content creators. Largely, the big name content producers that post their content to YouTube aren't intentionally creating 5 to 10 minute content. They take their other stuff and they also post it to YouTube so that you might be able to watch it, like segments from Saturday Night Live or the different news segments from different news programs. It's not content that's designed to run 5 to 10 minutes intentionally. That's what Quibi's doing. It is the gamut. It's scripted content. It's unscripted content, meaning reality or makeovers. They have a daily actually, they have a couple daily highlight shows, so newsy kind of things. Off of your phone and only your phone. It's not going to be at a big screen. All of this and more can be yours for $5 a month. Or, get this, $8 a month without ads. This is where you put the wah-wah sound in. Yes, this is ad-supported, even though you're paying for the content. But
just like Hulu, just like cable TV.
Yeah. Well, although arguably Hulu isn't really, well, yeah, because there's that ad level. I forgot about the fact that there's an ad paid level. Okay.
Yeah, slumming it in the ad level. That's what I do with Hulu.
Yeah. I don't have the patience for that. It's worth the extra $3. So basically, it's going to cost you money, but you can try it out during the month of April. You have the ability to get a 90-day free trial. They just launched. I think this week was their launch
week. Yeah, it was this week.
The reviews are not kind.
Really?
Not kind at all. No.
What? Okay, so fill me in. What is it that they don't like about it?
That a lot of the content feels kind of forced. Maybe it feels for a very specific sliver of consumers. You know, you are commuting and you're this age and you like watching video while you're doing that and blah, 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 right? It seems like it's very, very specific. A lot of it seems gimmicky. For example, they have this thing where there's two streams for each show. One of them is in landscape and one of them is in portrait. And you can rotate your phone at any point during the program and it'll switch from one to the other. Now, what you may end up getting is a differently framed view of the same content. So that's kind of interesting, right? They're actually thinking about how the story is getting framed when they're filming it. But really, that's not significantly different from anyone who's been doing CinemaScope or anything else, because they also had to look at what's it going to look like in 4x3 versus the CinemaScope, and more recently in 16:9 versus CinemaScope. So, okay. Or they might actually provide different content. Like they might have, I don't know, commentary in the flip view, or they might just have, I don't know, some other like bonus stuff that might be available in addition to what you're watching. I don't get it. I don't think that there's a big enough audience to warrant the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been invested by deep pockets into this content. I don't get it. They're big names, big stars. I just don't get it.
Have you tried it?
No, I'm not interested at all. Like I am not the kind of person that sits and watches video on my phone. I can't stand doing that. When I have content on my phone that I'm watching, I almost always AirPlay it to something or cast it to something so that I don't have to look at it on the little screen. Now, part of that is that I am older, and so it's harder for me to watch something that's smaller. But I just don't like, you know, I'm leaning my head down, looking at this thing and holding it right for 5 to 10 minutes straight. No, not me.
You're holding your phone and staring at it for 5 to 10 minutes straight when you're sitting on the couch looking at Twitter.
Actually, I don't use my phone for Twitter. I use my tablet.
Okay.
But again, it's a very different experience. They're not even creating tablet apps. It's only phone apps.
Okay.
So that may scale for your Android tablet.
Right.
But for your iPad, you get a phone app on your iPad.
Okay. So I did try this. And like you, when I first heard about this, because there was a lot of news about it at CES. So I read a lot of the articles about it and stuff. And I thought, this is stupid. Who wants this? I don't want this. I don't want this. Then today it came out and I'm like, 90-day free trial. I should try this. I got hooked immediately.
Oh. Like,
I think it's actually kind of cool, and immediately started thinking like, well, when would I want to watch this? I could watch this while I'm brushing my teeth and getting ready in the morning. I could, if I decided to take a walk in the middle of the day around the neighborhood for just a few minutes, I could watch a video while I'm taking a walk. Like,
wait, you would do that? You would watch video while you're walking around?
I've never done that before.
But, don't do that.
But my home office is situated at the front of my house, second story. So I see people walking up and down, and I live on a fairly main street. So I see people walking all day long.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, so your wife would be able to tell if you tripped and fell.
No, but I can't tell you how many people I see walking down the street staring at their phone. Like, it happens all the time. So I don't know that I would personally do that, but I could actually see this cutting into some of the time that I'm using for listening to podcasts, like while I'm getting ready in the morning or getting ready for bed or whatever. And some of the content is interesting. Like, they have Liam Hemsworth? I don't know. Thor, right? I think it's Thor. Is in one of these scripted dramas called The Most Dangerous Game or something like that. And
that would be Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. Sure. Whatever. I'm not good at actors' names. And it's, you know, the first episode is 8 minutes or whatever. And I watched it tonight and I was like, this is really good. I want to watch episode 2, but I have to produce a podcast. Like, I don't know that I'll stick with this, but I'm absolutely interested right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, this whole format, let alone the mobile device, the whole idea of scripted or unscripted, a serial of something that goes from 5 to 10 minutes apiece. That's like the formula for webisodes. I hate webisodes. Like, I'm just not a fan. Just give me the whole, give me half an hour's worth of a story or 21 minutes or whatever it is now after you take the ad out. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that I would have loved this last night. Last night, and I guess spoilers for later in the show. We got done putting our kids to bed and it was later than usual and I was really tired and I'm like, I could watch Homeland tonight, but I'm tired and Homeland is an hour and like, I don't want to fall asleep in the middle of Homeland. So I'm not going to watch Homeland tonight. I could have watched 2 episodes of this.
True. That's true. And also, yes, you do have to pay attention in Homeland.
Right. So I'm going to keep checking it out. And maybe that's what's going to end up in what's going on in my entertainment center next week. But hopefully more than just that.
All Josh has time for is Quibi.
All right. So let's move on from Quibi. And I wanted to say Quibi just a couple more times so that I can remember how to pronounce Quibi. Yeah, I'm not even going to tell you some of the ways that I thought it might be pronounced because I don't want them back in my head. So instead, we'll move away from Quibi and go on to our next story. This, again, kind of tails or piggybacks on a topic that we had last week where we talked about live TV stuff coming to Amazon Fire devices. And that was through Sling. And I think some ABC News stuff was in there. But ABC News is pushing hard to get their ABC News live sort of app everywhere. And they've now launched their ABC News app for Android TV and for Amazon Fire TV. So that's available now. And if you don't have one of those because you really hate, like you really love terrible remote controls, then it's coming to your Apple TV later. And if you love the cheapest streamers available, it's coming to Roku later this month. Also, so I've not checked out the ABC News app. I feel like I'm watching less news than usual, which is super weird, probably for the period that we're living in. Mm-hmm. But I like ABC News's content in general. Like if I'm going to watch a presidential debate or something, I'll frequently watch it on ABC. So I think I would probably like their content. For me, when I'm at a computer or something like that, I've been using the CBS News app for years because it's been available for years and it's been a really good service. So have you tried ABC News yet?
I have. And it seemed like, and this perhaps isn't surprising, it's largely a collection of segments put together in a linear format so that there's 24/7 content. I'm sure there's a lot of repeat. It's not, at least when I've tuned in, it hasn't been like long form shows. In fact, if I remember correctly, I tuned in during what I would consider like primetime evening news time, and it wasn't the primetime news program at the time, which I thought was kind of weird. So I need to spend a little bit more time with it, but I think you're dead on here. They are coming at CBS News specifically because CBS had the lead on this. They were one of the first to have their own news kind of, you know, network app, if you will, available pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, like I think maybe 2015 timeframe.
It's been around for a while and it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good,
it is good
app.
Yeah. So I guess I need to give ABC News a try, but I don't watch either of them very often. So who knows? Maybe the CBS News one has gotten a lot better too.
Don't know.
All right. You're a big HBO fan.
I am.
But you probably pay for it, right?
Yeah. I actually get HBO free with my AT&T wireless service.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice deal. Well, for those of us who are not getting HBO for free, HBO is making a lot of their content and a lot of their really good content available for free for the month of April. So it includes some of their biggest series like The Wire, Silicon Valley, The Sopranos, Veep, True Blood. You'll notice Game of Thrones isn't in there. You'll notice Westworld isn't in there. but that's still a lot of other really great content. A lot of their documentaries are in there. And then they're also including some WB movies. Now, I looked through that WB movie list and there wasn't really a whole lot that jumped out at me as all that interesting, but there is a lot available and it's all free right now. And so if you're wondering, okay, so how do I get this? Well, they've got a couple of different apps for their multiple services that I still don't really get. They have an HBO Now app and they have an HBO Go app. And all of this stuff is available through both of those apps for free for the month of April.
Yeah, you can sign up for either one. HBO Go is what you would typically sign up for if you already have cable service. HBO Now is the app that you would use if you only want HBO over the top and you don't have cable. Either one of them is going to be available to you at no cost now, which is really cool. It's a limited collection of content. I mean, I'm surprised they have Silicon Valley and Veep because they are the two most recent shows that caught my attention in this lineup. Everything else, The Wire, True Blood, Sopranos, I mean, that stuff's old. So yeah. It's basically 15, I guess, HBO's top 15 series, excluding anything that is like blockbuster current, like yeah. Westworld or Game of Thrones.
Right. Was The Wire the one in Baltimore?
Yes.
With the drug detectives yes. and stuff? Okay.
I have not watched that yet. I would imagine that if you start watching that during this break, which I'm not entirely sure is the right time to be watching The Wire, because everything that I know about The Wire is that it is intense.
Yes.
And telling the story of a community that is really dysfunctional. I don't know that that's what we want to hear about right now.
Probably not. But I actually have watched some of it. And I thought you had seen The Wire also.
I have not.
Oh, because I watched maybe the first two seasons.
Yeah, and it's like 6 or 7 years long.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I should watch Homeland instead.
You should. You absolutely should.
Maybe I'll start that this week.
All right. Well, if HBO is not your thing, maybe Showtime and Epix are of more interest to you. And of course, these are different camps because they're different studios that they represent and different owners. And so Epix and Showtime are, again, cable stations that have app experiences. And on Apple TV, you're just going to get free access to the Epix content and the Epix channel that's in Apple TV. So that's just available to everybody that has Apple TV for the month of April. Additionally, Showtime is extending their free trial. So if you want Showtime content like Homeland, then you'll be able to get Homeland and other Showtime shows, all of them, for the month of April. Through a free trial with Showtime through Apple TV. You actually have to sign up for that. That one doesn't just show up. You have to sign up for that. All this is really cool, but I actually have this a little bit better because for Verizon Fios, Fios is just turned these stations on for all of their customers. If you have Verizon Fios, even if you don't have Showtime or Epix or any premium channels whatsoever, they've lit up your Showtime and Epix channels, all of them. So you might want to check that out. You might want to go in, I don't know, undisable them like I had to do in my guide so that they'd show up again. And I even, when I did that, then went and canceled my subscription that I have to the Showtime app. And I figure I'll renew that when this period is over. But this is a really cool deal. Because there's a lot of good content on Showtime. It's funny, I was listening to Home Tech, the Home Tech podcast a couple weeks ago. I think Seth said something along the lines of, oh, well, I don't know, who watches Showtime? I'm like, millions of people. There's a lot of good shows on Showtime. So you might want to check that
out. Yeah. Like, it seems like everybody watches HBO and Showtime. It's the other networks that no one gives a crap about. Right? Like, no one's watching anything on Epix and Cinemax.
But and Stars.
Right. But Showtime has a lot of really good stuff.
Yep. Very true. Cool. So, pretty good deal.
So, Verizon, Fios, kind of surprisingly, are the ones who are doing this best.
It is kind of surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. But it still falls under our goal of having all good news here. So, way to go, Fios. All right, more good news. Piggybacking on previous shows, again, we mentioned, I believe, just last week, Movies Anywhere, maybe this was 2 weeks ago, was launching a service that would allow you to let your friends watch movies that you own or have registered in your Movies Anywhere collection. They call this Movies Anywhere Screen Pass, and it's available, but it's in a closed beta right now. It's still beta, but they're opening it up. All that really means is there's a form you can go to where you can register to be included. And it's not an instantaneous thing. I registered for it tonight. I had hoped that Richard had already registered for it. He unfortunately hasn't. So neither of us are in it yet. But I'm hoping that this is going to be working soon and that we can give this a try. Because I was thinking about this feature more today, and while it is super limited, and if you want to hear more of the limitations, go back a couple episodes. We dug into all of it because it's not everything. But while I was thinking, you know, comparing this to like Plex, if I'm streaming from your Plex server, well, then I've got your internet to deal with. And maybe you've only got 720p versions of movies. You probably don't, Richard, but I'm other like, people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But maybe you've got 1080p versions. Well, I got a 4K TV. I've got fast internet. Yep. I want to watch it in 4K. Yep. And a lot of the stuff that's on Movies Anywhere is available in 4K. So I would love to be able to watch those things in 4K, but not streaming them from someone else's Plex server, hoping that their internet is fast enough to stream 4K video to me.
Yep. Agreed. I will sign up. It's funny. I was trying to think, why would I want this when I can share? But that, yeah, you made a good argument there.
There you go.
All right. And finally, in our video stories, we want to talk about Amazon Prime Video finally letting you buy TV shows and movies in the app on iOS and Apple devices. This wasn't possible before because, you know, the Apple tax. Apple initially, I think, takes something like 30% of each sale. And then if you have a certain volume and you're with them for over a year, then I think that goes down to 15%. But they must have come up with some make nice deal with Amazon, because now you can just go in the app and purchase anything that you don't already have. It's not one of these things that says how to get this content. And then you have to go to the web and you can't even do it on your phone. You actually have to do it on a desktop browser, which is just ridiculous. So now you can do it in iOS. You can do it on the iPad. You can do it on tvOS, on your Apple TV, and just buy stuff you don't have, which makes life a lot easier. I'm glad to see this. One other thing in this update, they also pushed out an improvement to the iOS app that allows you to get casting. So now you can throw content to your Chromecast devices using the Amazon Prime app.
Cool. That is cool.
Yep.
I'm shocked that they got this, the ability to buy and rent stuff.
Yeah, I am too. This, I don't think that this, while it may seem logical, I don't think that this is necessarily anything that they did specifically because people are home more right now. But it is possible that that might have accelerated this. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be in place to support this kind of update.
Right.
So it's not something that they could have thrown together in the last month. But I wouldn't at all be surprised if they had something that they were working on and they decided to get together and say, hey, you know what? Let's help our customers get more content if they want it. By the way, speaking of content on Amazon Prime, if you're not already aware of this, If you've ever heard of IMDb TV, it is a free TV service that you can get on Android and some other devices. IMDb is actually owned by Amazon. And if your device doesn't have an app that lets you get IMDb TV, all of that content is available ad-supported in the Amazon Prime Video app.
Hmm.
So okay. There's a lot of cool stuff there.
Is there?
Well, to the extent that it is catalog libraries from a whole bunch of different studios. If there are catalog titles that you're interested in, just like all of these other ad-supported services, there's probably something there that might interest you. What I do find good about most of these is that it doesn't feel like there's a ton of overlap. So if you get enough of these that are giving you free content of catalog, eventually we're going to get the whole catalog.
I don't know. I have a feeling that all of these services are basically pulling from the same source.
Maybe, so. But I have not. There have been numerous times that I have looked for content and I ended up finding it either on IMDb or Tubi or Vudu, and it wasn't in all places.
Okay.
So
I can't believe you're looking in any of those places.
Well, I'm looking for content and that's where it is. So it's not like I'm like, hey, you know, I'm on my, I forget what it's called, the watch, I forget what the app is, but
the thing TV Time app?
No, not TV Time. It's the one that lets you find out where stuff is. But in any event, yeah, there's good stuff. Don't give up on it.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
It's too late. I've already given up. And I'm the one who's willing to deal with ads more.
Right.
All right. Well, another thing that I'm willing to deal with more than you is gaming. And we've got a little bit of gaming news this week. Not a ton, but a little. And the biggest news by far is today, Sony announced what the next generation controller is going to look like. So the new controller for the PlayStation 5. And you might have expected me to say what the new DualShock looks like, because that's what the PlayStation controller has been called since the first revision of the original PlayStation controller in like 96 or whatever year that came out. They're not calling it a DualShock anymore. It's now the DualSense, and it's kind of a weird name, but whatever. So the general layout is still the same. The sticks are still horizontal, you know, on the same horizontal plane. It's not offset sticks like the Xbox controller or anything like that. It's still got the big touchpad in the middle, but the light up ring, or not ring, the light bar that used to just be on the front of the controller now kind of wraps around that touch surface area. Frankly, I thought the touch area would go away for the PS5. Apparently it's not. They want to keep that around. Another thing that is changing is they got rid of the share button. They didn't really get rid of the share button. They're just renaming it. They're calling it the create button. It sounds like sharing to me. It sounds like it's going to launch into, like, they're not telling us what it'll do, but it's probably going to like launch you into a video editor or something like that before you upload it to Twitter or YouTube or whatever. And maybe launch a Twitch app or something like that. But that's effectively the sorts of things it's going to do. The coolest feature is that it's going to, well, potentially cool, is that it's going to have a built-in mic array. So the controller itself will have microphones. The mic array means more than one. This is how like your smart speakers at home work. They have more than one speaker so that it can hear from different angles and do some noise cancellation. And the idea is use just the controller as the microphone for chatting with your friends.
So do you hear?
Well, I've never done a multiplayer gaming on PlayStation 4. So I can only talk about how this works with the Xbox. But on Xbox, you can set it up to hear voice chat from the speakers, like from your TV speakers. So,
okay.
And that's why having a microphone array makes a lot of sense here, because you'd really want it to be canceling out your game audio and any audio that's coming from chat.
Right.
And hopefully they've got the technology there to make that good, because voice chatting with people and hearing yourself coming back through or hearing their game all at a delay is super annoying. So I trust that they've been working on that to make that a good experience.
Hey, I feel like if even Skype can figure that out, then surely Sony can do it.
You would think. So here's hoping. And then the other thing, the PlayStation controllers for a while now have had integrated rechargeable batteries. That is the case here again. But it's upgrading to USB-C charging, which just makes sense. Everything is moving to USB-C. So the overall shape of the controller, it's a little bit more rounded. Like, it just looks like a more comfortable controller to hold on to. I've never found the DualShock controllers all that comfortable to hold on to. Plus, I don't like how the sticks are arranged. I really like the offset sticks on the Xbox controllers. I think it just works better. They're not doing that. But this looks, it looks more comfortable. But the design of this controller, like, I don't know, the first word that came to mind for me was space age.
I think it looks cool.
I don't mean it in a good way. Like, I think it looks kind of cool, but I think it's not going to take long at all before we're like, ooh, that's a dated design.
Well, you could say the same of, I don't know, every white version of the Xbox that they've come out with.
Of the console or the controller?
Of the console. I mean, I think it's because of the, I'm assuming that it's because of the black and white color on it that it just feels like it's, I looked at it and I'm like, wow, that looks kind of 2001. I mean, like the movie 2001.
Right. Which came out, I think, in 1968.
But I think that's cool. I like it.
I guess. I don't like it. Like, it's fine now, but I really think in 2 years we're going to be like, okay, Sony, it's time for something new.
My question is, does it still have the square, circle, triangle, and whatever the other one is, star?
Yes, of course. It's square, triangle, circle, and what most people call X.
Oh, X.
But it's officially called cross.
Cross.
No one calls it cross.
Okay.
Because crosses are typically horizontal and vertical, not both at diagonals.
Right.
It's apparently officially called cross. Whatever. So that's the new controller. We don't know what the console looks like yet. We don't have release dates on any of this stuff, whether it be the new Sony, the PS5, or the Xbox Series X. But, you know, they're going to keep slowly releasing this stuff. Okay, so that's it on the Sony side. This week, also, Microsoft put out a post teasing the upcoming dashboard update for the Xbox One. This is the 2004 update. You would be wrong if you saw 2004 and thought that meant 2004. How dare you? It's 2004.
Not confusing at all, particularly
not
since Windows releases in 2004 were actually named by year.
Right, which is why they're calling it 2004, so that you're not confused, Richard.
Oh, it makes it so much more clear.
Because the 20 is for the year and the 04 is for the month. Duh. I don't know why you couldn't figure that out.
Duh.
Duh. They're doing the same thing with Windows.
Well, but Windows, yeah, they are with the versions, but I mean, they're promoting them really as 20H1 and 20H2.
No, they're not anymore.
They're not anymore?
No, it's 2004. They should have stuck with 20H1 and 20H2. That made sense.
That actually has business meaning.
Right.
Like, globally.
Yes. Yeah, like, it was way better than creators update and anniversary update and all that stupidity.
Right.
They switched to something that made sense, and then they thought, nah, this isn't going to work anymore.
That's right. Next year, we'll be past this. It'll all be 21-something, and it'll make sense again.
Maybe. Okay, so now that we're done harping on the version name, what's coming in it? We're 6 years into the console release cycle. It's not that much that's coming, but it's nice stuff. So I did fire up my, I have two Xboxes. My Xbox One S is in one of the 15 insider rings. I don't remember which one. So it's not on any of the like super fast ones. So I've got a little bit of this, but not all of this. So I can't give you a full hands-on of what it was like. But they've updated the guide. The guide is the thing that pops up over the left side of the screen when you push the Xbox button on your controller. They've made it so that it's customizable because it's basically horizontal scrolling tabs or horizontal tabs, and then everything scrolls vertically.
Right.
And they're making it customizable so that you can arrange them the way that you want them to, which is cool.
That's nice. Can I take some off? Can I take the ones off that I don't care about, like all the social stuff?
Well, you'll if you can't, you'll be pleased to know that they're combining the social ones. So
okay.
Chat was one thing. Party was another thing. They're combining party and chat into one thing. And I'm curious, like that was the thing that I really wanted to try out because I use both of those all the time. So I'm really hoping they didn't screw that up. But that is not on the Xbox that I have sitting behind me right now. It also is changing so that when you press it, you start at the left. You don't start in the middle. Like right now, when you press the guide button.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
You can go three steps over to the left and three steps over to the right. Like, it's weird. So going from left to right, it's going to be customizable. There's somehow combining party and chat. And then the other cool thing, this was the one feature I did have on mine. If you go into the My Games and Apps app, they've added in lots of the different views a button called Surprise Me. So like you go into your installed apps and you click Surprise Me and it says you should play NHL 20. Or you should play Cuphead or Ori.
Okay.
It just picks one.
It doesn't actually take you right in it, does it?
No, it doesn't
that
take you right
in. That could go horribly wrong.
Right. Especially with how long these games take to load. Yeah. No, it just says, how about this one? How about this one? But it's not just on the games you have installed. So like you can go to Game Pass and say, Surprise Me. And it pops up a little thing that says, you know, how about Sea of Thieves? And the one of the important things there is it tells you how big the game is. Because if it's like, how about Gears 5? Well, Gears 5 is a 70 gig download. So cool idea, but I'm not going to be playing it for a couple of hours while I wait for it to download. So, but the Surprise Me functionality is available in lots of different areas and filters of how you're looking through that part of the app. So it's fun. Like, honestly, I could have used this last night because when I decided not to play Homeland, I was like, all right, let's turn on my Xbox and see what I want to play. And I kind of looked at what I had installed. I'm like, I don't know. If I would have had Surprise Me, maybe I would have picked one. Maybe. But I didn't have Surprise Me. So I didn't have anything like pushing me to play a specific game. So I didn't. And then I fell asleep on the couch.
I'm way too much of a control freak for that feature.
Yeah. So that's coming very soon. It is the 2004 update. So my guess is like next week, the week after that tops before it's on everybody's Xbox. So you won't have to wait long. And you won't have to wait long for the gaming news to be over in this show either because it's over now, which also means we're kind of done with all of the news. That's it. We don't have mobile and ebook stuff to talk about this week like we did a couple of weeks ago.
That's shocking. So,
right. I mean, like every week we have ebook stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. All right. Well, we do have Entertainment Center stuff that's been going on. At least I do. You have a somewhat limited collection, if you could call a collection of one a collection. But yeah, I've been watching the usual stuff, Modern Family and Superstore. Both were really good this week. The Flash and Arrow, I've been continuing to catch up on those. NBC has smartly decided to hold back its Epidemic episode that I've talked about for New Amsterdam, so that will not be airing tonight. And instead, they're showing reruns until they eventually show their season finale, which will be the next new episode. So there'll be a new episode short this season. They're going to hold it. They do want to show it at some point, assuming that there's going to be an appetite for that. at some point when we all get past this, but it'll probably be a season or two later. I have been watching and am up to date on Homeland and Westworld. Loving, loving, loving both of those. We are continuing to watch Grace and Frankie season 6, continuing to watch our cartoon President. I am continuing to watch Cheers, and this weekend we watched the movie Shazam, which I had wanted to see even since it came out. I just didn't want to see it in the theater.
You wanted to see this?
I did want to see this. So everybody I know that saw it enjoyed it. It's one of these kind of irreverent, but still kind of heartwarming. Kind of, I compared it to Deadpool, but PG, way, way more PG than Deadpool. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. Everett and I both watched it. We thought it was a lot of fun. Part of the reason that I wanted to watch it is because I used to watch Shazam, the Saturday morning TV series, as a kid. And I wanted to see how well did they kind of hold up to the story that told? And again, as compared to the comic books, because I also read the comic books at the time. And I don't know if people realize this, and they didn't even get into this in this movie, because it would probably have been way confusing. But the character was actually known as Captain Marvel. Even though there's also a Captain Marvel in the Marvel universe.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. Anyway, I recommend it. And it's showing on HBO now. So you could watch it for free if you sign up for one of the free HBO trials. Also, been watching a lot of news. Been watching a lot of, I probably shouldn't watch the press conferences because they just infuriate me, but I've been watching them too. And I am once again a week behind on podcasts because, no commute. Not that I ever really have a commute, but
right.
I'm not even in my car at all.
Yeah. If you're sick of being frustrated by the federal press conferences, you should watch the Ohio one. The Ohio ones are fantastic because we have good executive leadership in Ohio.
That's good. I am glad to hear that. Yeah. You know what? I don't know if anyone saw this on Twitter. I learned this morning that the transcript for every one of those press briefings, with all of the fumbling and the just trying to get through one coherent sentence, all of that is documented word for word at whitehouse.gov.
Wow. Yikes.
Yeah.
I don't want to read that.
Yeah. It's going to make a fascinating historical record, I'll tell you. All right. That's enough for my political bias peeking through there. What have you been playing, watching, doing in your entertainment center, Dash?
Okay, so when we started the segment, you said I had a list of one thing.
There was one thing there.
There was. Now there are three. And the reason for that is when I should have been working on this part of the show notes, I was watching content on Quibi. So I do have a couple of other things on here. The only one that I initially remembered was that we played some more of the Division 2 over the weekend. Nothing more to say there than Division 2. Also, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and if I didn't, even if I did, it's worth recommending again as a way of trying to still hang out with friends, even though we can't in the same physical space. We've been doing Google Hangouts while playing Ticket to Ride on our phones, and we did that again this week. It was fun. I still really like this concept that we're pulling off. I need to come up with some other games to try out, or maybe not, because Ticket to Ride doesn't take that much brain power. And really, we're doing it so that we have, more time to chat and stuff anyway. So
cool.
Ticket to Ride, it's available on everything. Unfortunately, you missed the sale, so now you've got to pay $7 for it or whatever it is. And then the other thing that I played, so unfortunately no watching this week, is a brand new game called Sky Children of the Light, or at least it's brand new on Android. I think this was released previously on iOS. It might have even been in, what does Apple call their subscription game app service?
Arcade? Apple Arcade?
Apple Arcade. That's it. Yeah, it might be in Apple Arcade. So this is a game from a company that makes games called That Game Company. Super creative name. And That Game Company is the same company that made Journey, which was a PlayStation exclusive. They made Flower, which was a PlayStation exclusive. And these are not like intense games. They're very artistic. Like, and Sky reminds me a lot of Journey in a lot of good ways. So Sky, you're this little character who's kind of flying around these fairly barren landscapes, starts in a desert area, moves on to some grass lushy areas. And it's kind of puzzly. And then the thing that was interesting about Journey way, way, way back when that game came out on PlayStation 3, that's how old this was. So like maybe 2010-ish. It was a single player game, but if you were playing online, you would occasionally see other people playing the game at the same time as you, and you could help each other out, but there was no way to communicate. And it was just, you happen to be wandering through the desert and come across another person who's on a similar journey as you. And it was a really neat experience. And they've taken the same concept here, except it's way more people. Like when I played Journey, I saw two people in the like 3 hours that I played that, which was the whole game. When I played Sky Children of the Light for a half hour or so last night, I saw like 10 people. Like it was lots. So it's cool. I like the experience. It's free. It's definitely on Android. I'm pretty sure it's on iOS. There are in-game things that you can buy. It doesn't seem like you really need to, but it's a lighthearted, very chill game that can be experienced with other people, but not in a way where like they're going to ruin your fun or anything like that. So check that out if that sounds interesting to you.
Cool.
That's it. I'm really going to try and watch Homeland this week, Richard.
Sure you are. All right. Well, that is it for what we've been up to. A quick announcement before we're out of here. I forgot to mention this last week, actually. Last week, all week long, I was on Ken Ray's new after show podcast that he has for his show, macOS Ken, called In a Few Minutes. And each day we had a segment where we talked about just stuff that's going on, stuff that I'm into or up to. And it was a lot of fun. I would recommend, if you haven't already checked it out, and if you listen to Ken's other shows, you probably should be subscribing to this because I'm sure you'll enjoy it. He gets great guests on. But even if you don't, he gets great guests on. He's had Allison Sheridan. He's had a bunch of other people that are really interesting to listen to and get their perspectives in these short 10 to 15 minute blips that literally start with the last couple seconds of the theme song from macOS Ken. It is intentionally designed to be the after show.
And so this is a standalone podcast that's freely available. It's not like a Patreon extra or something like that.
Nope. He trialed it with his Patreon folks and then ultimately ended up releasing it to everybody.
Cool. Very cool.
Yep. Very cool. So I would recommend checking that out.
Yeah. Especially all of last week's episodes.
Absolutely.
Because best guest they've ever had.
I don't know about that.
Probably.
I mean, yeah. They had Tom Merritt. They had some big names. So, yeah.
None bigger than Richard Gunther. All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of podcast superstar Richard Gunther, he's on Twitter at Richard Gunther. Little lowly Josh. I'm there too at Josh Pollard. The website's there too at Digimedia Zone. We're on Facebook and all those other places. Go to the show notes at thedigitalmediazone.com for all of that information. And to check out our other podcast, Home On, Richard's other show. I know that you're working on a new episode because I was on it.
Yeah, you were. This week's episode of Home On features peer projects that folks like you and other voices that you'll be familiar with are taking on while we're all spending a little bit more time at home than most people are used to. That's the thing that's really funny about this. Like, this isn't really all that different from my day-to-day life for me, but I'm a homebody.
Yep.
I think people will enjoy this episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. To hear everybody else talk, not me. So, so we also do this show live. We record typically Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m.
Yep, Eastern. Probably not the next 2 weeks though, because birthdays.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Our birthdays are on Tuesdays this year.
We're busy the next two Tuesdays, so we'll probably be doing it Wednesday. Maybe we'll let you know.
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Yep. One birthday next week and another birthday 2 weeks, a week after that. So very cool. All right. Well, follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to go live, because we do always tweet when it's going to be live. And we want you here because it is so much more fun when you're here chatting with us. You add a lot to the show and we think you get a lot out of it too. So come next week, whenever that happens to be. And also, we're trying to get all of these up on YouTube. So if you want to see the video, go and check those out. Of course, all of the links in the show notes. Subscribe, like, ring the bell, all of that YouTube stuff that you're supposed to do with YouTube videos.
Go there. This week, you'll get to see my crazy shirt.
Yes, Richard's shirt alone is enough of a reason to go and watch this week's episode. I was surprised when I saw what Richard was wearing. So there's your hint, your reason to go. So
All right. That
is going to do it for episode 515. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.